For as long as the sci-fi genre has existed, so too has the trope of the sex bot. Almost always in female form, the sex bot is often portrayed as either a seductive villain or a slave lacking autonomy. We are now at a point in history where robotic sex dolls are a very real possibility. On the one hand, they have the potential to help many people who are unable to have a romantic or sexual relationship with a human. On the other hand, many people feel strongly that this is one area of technology that we should not explore. We already have robots that help us in every other aspect of our lives, including interpersonal relationships. For example, Pero, a soft, tactile, interactive seal pup robot, which helps elderly dementia patients to feel less lonely. So why is it that some people feel so negatively towards sex robots? Well, on today's episode of Our Sexual History, we're going to find out. And on today's episode of Our Sexual History, we have scientist and comedian Jessamine Fairfield, and comedian and podcaster, fellow Head Stuff podcaster, Alison Spittle.
I don't feel podcaster is as accomplished as scientist.
The show is rad.
Yeah. It's amazing. You put time and effort into it.
I do, but like, you know, I ain't going to save lives with it. Science saves lives, I feel, somehow. It also kills. I haven't killed anyone, so maybe it levels out.
I feel like science saves lives and it kills, but I haven't personally done either of those things, so it's kind of a wash for me.
I feel like science has probably saved more lives than it has killed, possibly.
Definitely.
I don't know, but if you got a few more nukes, you could level it out again.
That's true.
Yeah, but like vaccines and sanitation, you know, treatments for cancer.
No more lead pipes.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Well, in some places.
Mm. Yeah.
Sorry.
So we're not going to talk about lead pipes today, but we are going to talk about sex bots because a couple months ago I walked in on Alison and Jessamine and talking doing their episode of Alison's podcast and
with a sex bot.
So awkward.
And I was like, "What's going on in the studio, guys?" And we just got on this like really fun conversation about sex bots, and I was like, we should be recording this right now.
I know, we should have, but now we're doing it now.
We're doing it now.
Yeah, and I've forgotten half of what I said, so maybe it'll feel real to me now. You know what I mean? It's like, how am I coming out with these complete sentences? Because I said it 4 months ago and I didn't remember. Cool.
So sex bots have been in our pop culture for the longest time. They've been ubiquitous with like sci-fi movies. So what are some of your guys' like favorite sci-fi either film or TV shows that have sex bots in it?
I saw Ghost in the Shell a month ago, and I mean, Scarlett Johansson's character isn't a sex bot, but like the man who has the factory that makes these robots, he's definitely an ass man. Like, there were so many shots of her ass. And I was like, this is helping with the robot, or what is the point of making a robot sexually attractive?
Yeah.
Because she didn't really sleuth and sneak around and do like honey traps or anything like that. She killed people.
Yeah. So what's the point of her having like boobs and an ass like that?
Yeah, she should have a wheel or something. You know, like she should have a wheel and lasers where her tits should be. Like bang.
Yeah.
So I've always been intrigued by the whole idea of sex bots, because like Bicentennial Man, Robin Williams, that film. Mm-hmm. I loved that film when I was a kid, and then I watched it when I was an adult, and I was like, this is a terrible film. This is not a good film. And he, Bicentennial Man falls in love with a human. And when you're a teenager and kid, you're like, how does it work?
Yeah.
Junk and stuff. And, you know.
I thought that same way about Twilight. I was like, if he's a vampire and he's dead and there's no blood flowing anywhere, he doesn't have a heartbeat, how does he get a boner? Anatomy.
Good question.
Good question.
I bet they explained that somewhere. in the book.
No, I fucking read the book just to find out. It's not explained at all.
Oh my gosh. Maybe it's magic. The power of prayer. That's how I get a boner. The power of prayer. Please, Lord, let this blood engorge my...
And if God loves you enough... Yeah. It'll happen.
But only if you're married.
Yes, only if you're married. What about you?
I mean, I think in general, I'm always really drawn to stories that are asking, like, at what point are robots human?
Mm-hmm.
So one of my favorite recent ones was Ex Machina.
I love that film.
Yeah.
Like, was very beautiful, for one thing. But I think part of what I liked about it as well was, like, robots taking their power back.
Yes.
And being like, we're done with this, in what other people were like, but that was a really, like, horrible anti-human thing at the end. And I'm like, was it great?
What I loved about it, because, like, when it came out and everybody, there was a lot of people kind of raging that it was, oh, she was, like, a sex robot and this is, like, anti-feminist and stuff. I'm like, yeah, but, like, at the very end, it's played like, she's going to run away with Donald Gleason's character, and then it, like, turns and she's like, no, it's about me. I am going to escape and I'm going to have my life now. So I was like, feminist masterpiece right there.
Yeah. Well, because I think a lot of those stories, like, they can be kind of parables or ways to talk about, you know, civil rights or, like, historically disenfranchised groups. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys know the music of Janelle Monáe.
I love Janelle Monáe.
Amazing. Like, so good. Just as music, so good. But then also the whole kind of, like, the whole story she has, and, like, her alter ego is, like, Cindy Mayweather, like, the, you know, robot who falls in love with a human, and then, like, all this stuff, and then exploring all these themes of, like, you know, being suppressed or being told you can only live your life one way, and then
for
entire class of people who don't get to choose the type of person that they are. It's so good.
Yeah.
And I hear them rise up and I'm like, go robots.
yeah, pretty much. If there's ever, like, in movies or TV or music or stuff, an opportunity to side with robots, I'm pretty much always on the side of robots.
Metropolis.
Yeah,
Metropolis.
I just feel weird about the concept of consent. Like, how does a robot consent to...
And I think that's, like, what Jessamine was talking about. At what point are they sentient? What point do you think they're going to be sent? Like, at what... Yeah. At what point do we need to worry about things like consent and sentience, like, in robots? Because I was having this conversation with my boyfriend yesterday, just when I was, like, doing, like, research and stuff. And he was like, I don't think we're ever going to have to worry about, like, sex bots having some sort of sentience. It's going to come from, like, the big massive data centers. That's going to, with Google and everything.
Yeah.
Like, that we're going to have a much bigger problem with that long before we have any problems with having to worry about consent in, like, a humanoid form kind of robot.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting because a lot of the, you know, not, like, sex bots yet, but, you know, like, the real dolls, like, that kind of thing, where people are trying to get to the point where, you know, they're making something that looks like a person for actual humans to have sex with. Like, to get the doll or whatever to respond in the way that a human would requires a lot of interesting AI that is kind of, like, trying to emulate some kind of personality, you know, so that someone who wants to have sex with this doll, like, feels like they are talking to a person.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of, like, it would naturally push the doll in that direction without necessarily pushing it over the line. I do kind of agree that I think these big data centers and pulling together lots of more networked knowledge is a bit scarier in a sense.
They're going to turn against us and shut down the internet and kill us all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would be funny if they did have, like, human aspects where it's like, I'm sorry, Greg, I have a headache. You know, like,
I'm pretty sure she'd have Siri's voice.
Yeah. Siri, yeah. Hello. How does Siri... I feel... Do you know these new machines where you can talk to Google and you go, what's the name of that bloody Amazon thing?
Alexa is the Amazon one, right?
So my friend has Alexa in her house, and we spent 20 minutes just going, Alexa, fuck off. And we were being horrible to this robot. And, like, I feel that's what would happen with robot sex people.
Well, you know? I mean, I feel like you just made Alexa go off into her servers and cry a little bit.
Totally. I was being absolute bastard to Alexa, and I didn't feel bad about it, and I feel that's how people will be with well, these sex robots.
And to some extent, like, it's good to have that as a way to blow off steam. Mm-hmm. You know, you see that in, like, video games all the time, that, like, people, when people play video games, a lot of them turn into, like, amoral assholes.
Yeah.
Who are just like, you know, a mom and her three kids, shoot them in the face!
Yeah.
And, like, in real life, they would not be doing that. Like, and then if there's other players accessible to them, they're, like, much more horrible to other players than they would be in real life, because they're in this kind of, like, you know, game mode of, like, blowing off steam.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for a long time, there was this kind of moral panic around video games and, like, violent video games. Do they make people violent? Whatever. And it's interesting to think about that in the context of sex bots, because, like, if it is kind of a safe way for you to be horrible to something that's not a person, maybe that's good. Or to, like, do a kink that a person wouldn't want to do with you. Or, like, when I was reading up on this, I found this really interesting thought experiment of, like, what if, you know, you could make sex bots that look like children,
yeah,
for pedophiles.
I've read
so that
about
they're
that
not
well.
They're not abusing children, but it, like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that,
because
it could be good and therapeutic and a way to act out that kink without hurting an actual person, and maybe, like, kind of let off steam. But at the same time,
it makes,
I don't know,
makes
is it normalizing?
Feel really, really uncomfortable. But I suppose you have to think about it in a way of, like, what is going to be the best way for risk prevention? And, like, how do you even compose a study to see if that would work to be therapeutic?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, like, that's very tricky.
Yeah.
I'd hate to be in on that experiment. It'd be horrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really tricky question, because, you know, maybe that could be a good thing, you know, for society as a whole, for people to have outlets for these kind of urges that they might have that might not be of social benefit if they're acted out in society.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, does that actually normalize them? Going back to, like, video games, though, there's been lots of studies trying to show whether or not violent video games cause people to be more violent. And so far, the answer is not really no.
And it's the same, like, with pornography as well. Like, that there's people trying to show that, like, pornography makes people act out, you know, violently towards women or whatever. But the vast majority of people in society have watched porn, and, you know, the vast majority of us aren't horrible monsters to each other, I like to think, anyway.
Yeah.
And also the top, I think it was, like, the top 10 countries that are have, like, the worst human rights records for women, things like rape and incarceration of women, et cetera, et cetera. 8 out of those 10 have all-out bans on pornography, and then 2 we don't have the data for. It's the same with, like, the really super strict, like, the Bible Belt of America, that would be very, very strict on porn, has the highest amount of, like, porn viewing in the States and stuff. I want to say, like, surprise, but, like, I'm not surprised by that at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, almost anything, if you kind of ban it, it makes it more popular but harder to regulate.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, yeah. But that's very interesting about, like, porn bans in places.
Yeah. And one thing I was thinking about as well is, if we have sex bots and you have people who, you know, see women as objects, or, you know, they just want that subservient woman in their life that does nothing but just is there to service you sexually. Is it not better to get those people out of the general dating pool anyway and just give them that outlet? Like, don't be dating anyone.
Yeah. Is it like those men that are, like, big MRA heads on Twitter, but they also have cushions as girlfriends, and they'll be like, this is better than any feminist bitch. This is a cushion with an anime lady on the front.
Oh, yes, I've seen them.
And it's like, if that's how you feel, I'm glad that you don't have an actual
girlfriend to be terrible to. Yeah.
She doesn't need that.
No.
Go live your best life. Have a good time. You know, you do you. Or that cushion. Just
Well, yeah, I think it's a good question. And I mean, as well, you know, maybe some people who have trouble with, like, social interactions and stuff and might find a, like, relationship with a proper person, like, extremely demanding, but also still experience loneliness and whatever. Like,
yeah,
maybe it would be nice for them to have a sex bot pal to have some limited interactions with, get off once in a while, and then, like, that could be helpful for some people. Again, in almost, like, a therapeutic sense.
Like a sex surrogate, almost.
Yeah, yeah. And I also don't know how I feel about that, because then I'm like, what if at some point that that robot is just like comes to consciousness and is like, what the hell is going on here? I don't like this.
Yeah.
Why don't we ever go out?
You don't introduce me to your friends, Brian. Are you ashamed of me?
Oh. Did you ever see Lars and the Real Girl?
No.
It's so lovely. Like, yeah. It's just like Ryan Gosling, really, like what you were saying, like really socially awkward person, very shy and kind of reserved and has real trouble interacting with women. And then one day a box arrives and it's like, this real doll, and he like dresses her up and like is very, you know, romantic with her, and like for all intents and purposes like has this real relationship with this woman who's not a woman.
Oh, that sounds cute.
It's very sweet. Yeah. I liked it.
These are so many films I need to watch about sex robots.
Oh, I have a whole list here. So like Metropolis, Ghost in the Shell, Weird Science. Did you guys ever watch Weird Science?
I did. Yeah. I did. Kelly LaRocque? Or Kelly Bright? What was her name?
Oh, I can't remember. I was thinking about it the other day, and I was just like, that movie is so fucked up. Like,
yeah, so it is so fucked up.
Like,
but so many of those 80s films are really fucked up. I watched I've got a John Hughes box set. And is it 16 Candles where this man has this boy has this girl's pair of knickers and he starts sniffing them and he's like, yeah. And
casual racism.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As long as keep it casual. Keep it casual. With Weird Science, I did find that really weird. They had a computer print where they were making her boobs bigger and stuff. And it was like, the perfect woman. And it's just... I think there's this big trope though in science fiction of women being the perfect being, where, so say if you're a robot or you're an alien, you're something that comes down to Earth or a world and you crash, and then the first person you meet is some schlubby man who's not extraordinary in any way, but he's extraordinary to that woman, because she knows nothing else about the world.
She's imprinted on him like a baby duck.
Yeah, and like so she's like learning about day-to-day life off him, like Lilu Dallas Multipass.
Oh my god, yeah, I do love that film.
And but it's like Corbin Dallas is not—he's not an extraordinary man.
No, he's a taxi man.
He's a taxi man who gets annoyed by his mom and he smokes and stuff, and he's a taxi driver. But she is the perfect being, apparently, that is going to save the world. Yet she crashes into his car and is like, "Please help, please help!" And then, but there's so many films with that trope in it.
Yeah,
and it's just interesting to me, because there's not many films with the trope where women are like the perfect, that like a schlubby woman getting a guy who falls into Earth and she knows how to make a pot noodle and he's like, you're incredible.
Yeah.
Wow, I am the perfect being. I will save you.
We should make that happen.
Yeah.
Get some really hunky guy to be like an alien or robot, like, please teach me about love.
And just some pot noodles.
Pot noodles.
Your world is so beautiful.
Yeah. Show me how to use your leap card.
Yeah. Beep. Oh, incredible.
Oh, the technology.
With robots too, I do feel these sex robots, there's often a trope of kind of them imprinting themselves on this schlubby guy. It's this kind of everyman thing even you could fuck an incredible being.
But I think that's how it is in like most kind of hetero mainstream porn as well. It's like all the guys look particularly average, and then these just like intensely hot, like kind of lacking in personality kind of archetypes for women. Yeah.
So this whole that's why I feel weird about sex robots in general.
But I suppose Bicentennial Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's Robin Williams.
It is Robin Williams. He's not the most attractive robot. Like,
he's not a god descended from space.
No, he kind of looks like the Tin Man in Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, if you look at like the women that play robots as well, fantastic tits and arse.
Yeah,
like, there's never like a strong robot. I don't understand. You know, Terminator, they have these incredibly built, athletic, strong men, And then it's like, they do have athletic women, but she is never like an athletic A cup woman or like a Serena Williams type woman where she's athletic, but she's got big hips or anything like that. It's like athletic, but C cup and a good arse. You know what I mean? And it's just, that's how I feel about, I'm just, sorry, I'm bringing it into this shit.
No, but it's, I think it's very relevant though, just in how, like, the type of characters you see sex robots as, you know, in these films, it often is, you know, women who are very, like, compliant with traditional beauty norms and...
And compliant in general.
Yeah. Like, just, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I find odd about the whole sex robot thing is that you can't switch off a partner. You can't even switch off a one night stand. Yeah. You know, you can't just... I feel like you plug in a robot and you tell it what to do. It's like men that treat women like there's some sort of cheat code to life are horrible. Do you know, where they get you drunk or something? They're like, oh, she'll fuck me if she's really drunk, so I'll just get her drunk. It is like putting in a password going, snowflake 69, you know, there's the cheat code, now I'll get to do what I want quicker.
Yeah, well, and that's why guys get so angry as well if they're kind of denied that, of like, oh, but I did this, I did the right things, right? I'm supposed to get what I want. And it's like, that's not how people,
it's like,
work.
We do not have a game genie attached to us.
Yeah This is not final boss mode. So I do, that's what I find weird about robots.
I think
you should just take life as it is in all its horror. And don't cheat at that sort of stuff, because then you'll become entitled. And it does come with this, you see a few people, men on Twitter, talk about their dolls or their cushions and go like, she'll never do that to me, like, what, express an opinion, like, that's not a bad thing. Just that's what I hate about the robot sex thing.
I think there's also an angle to it which is potentially unsettling, which is making a sex robot that looks like a particular person. Like, not like they look like a person or they could be a person, but like a particular,
like,
person.
Like a particular, like, celebrity or someone.
Like, I don't know, did you guys watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
I did. Yes.
And, you know, there's like a kind of subplot where these guys, the trio, like, they make a Buffy bot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's real creepy because the idea is, like, to make a copy of a person that they know and are attracted to, but who's, like, compliant and, like, complimentary of them. And, you know, it's like a show for teenagers, so it didn't get too gross or horrible. Yeah. But it is, like, that idea is very unsettling. And, like, you can think about, oh, you know, maybe a nicer example, like, you love your partner so much and they die and it's very sad. What if you could just make, like, a sex robot that had their kind of face and maybe bits of their personality? Like, is that okay? Or is that weird and horrible?
Well, it's like porn stars now, that they have a second line of income. And
the fleshlights.
The fleshlights that are like exactly like their vaginas or butts, depending on.
Those kind of squick me out a bit. I guess that's why I don't like sell them in my shop for my own personal preference. But I really like, there was a talk that I saw. Oh, I can't even remember who it was by. It was a woman who was in robotics. I think she was from the States. And she was talking about, like, why are we so focused on sex bots being humanoid? Like, we have vibrators. We have so many sex toys that are kind of abstract shapes and different colors and stuff. And who's to say that, like, the way that... like, quote unquote, sex bots are going to evolve is going to be purely humanoid. It could be something like a sensory blanket, or like, it could take like any shape and form, because like, our imagination is like the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Which I really love the idea of, like, it doesn't, and I think a lot of our uncomfortableness, like, around sex bots have to do with the fact that it is like in a humanoid form, and thinking like, if someone just wants like a compliant, like, humanoid, you know, what does that say about them and how they interact with people in the real world? Whereas, like, the vast majority of sex toys are very, very much abstract.
Yeah.
Do you think it's like when the Industrial Revolution came, people that worked in the textile industry and different kind of industries that were not reliant on machines, but then had to become reliant on machines, and lots of people had no work then, and they would break up the machines. And do you think that'll happen with sex, where everyone will want to fuck robots, and then other humans will be like, no, we will. I just imagine a world where just robots and humans will fuck each other, but humans won't fuck each other. So just
yeah,
be so quick.
That's a really interesting thought experiment. Because I thought about that as well, but I think like the vast majority of us want a human to human interaction. We want, like, we crave human relationships. We're social creatures by nature.
Yeah.
So unless you can get some sort of AI that's going to mimic human interactions in such a way that, like, it passes the Turing test and then some, like, I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't think, especially where we are now with, like, sex robot technology, like, it's pretty, pretty primitive. I don't think anyone's going to be going out, like, looking for that over a human relationship, unless that is their particular kink.
Yeah. I do think, though,
that'd be a kink for a human relationship.
Yeah, it'll be like a hipster retro thing to want a relationship with a human.
Like a rotary phone or something.
Yeah, or a big mustache. I do think, though, like, even if a potential, like, future sex robot was like a, you know, awesome blanket that you got wrapped up in, if it gained sentience and just, like, you know, imagine yourself, like, waking up for the first time, like, wrapped around a person, being like, what is this? What am I doing? Like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
I would still, I mean, it seems almost silly to talk about consent for, like, a blanket rather than, like, something that's shaped like a person.
Yeah. When you say it like that, I'm like, no, but it's so weird because the only difference is the shape.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, maybe you wouldn't have that much, you know, brain-like electronics inside something like that. I don't know, but you could still potentially have a kind of question around consent, even with a very, like, weird-shaped sex robot blanket, like, tentacle thing. I don't know. You know? You just imagine, like, a dildo gaining sentience and just being like, what's happening? Oh my god, no!
I can't breathe in here!
Yeah. It's a lot of, like, household objects that would be horrified if they suddenly came to life while they were doing what they're supposed to be doing all the time.
I just imagine, like, sausage party except for sex toys. It's like sentient sex, like Toy Story. Sex Toy Story.
Oh my god.
Oh my
Let's
god.
Let's make it.
Yeah, Woody and Buzz. They sound like sex toys.
Oh
they
my
sound
god.
Like sex toys.
Didn't someone, I think someone's done that. Like, I, like,
if you can think of it, it's been done.
Yeah,
I hope
yeah.
so, because it's amazing.
Yeah, you'd be like, you've got my friend, did you? You've got my friend. Please get him out.
Oh. Ruining my childhood.
I know. I'm ruining your business as well. I'm personalizing the sex toys.
I swear to God, every podcast I go on, someone tries to ruin my business. Like,
oh,
I was on the Stoneface Films podcast last week, and what were we talking about? They said something I think it was, like, in reference, I can't even remember anymore, in reference to, like, a film or TV show that I watched, like, when I was a kid, but, like, compared it to, like, my sex shop, and I was just like, oh, God. Oh, and then we talked about the bog oak thing that we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, like, one of their questions. They're like, so, I saw that you were on Allison Spittle's podcast, and you were talking about fucking Pete Briquette. So I was like, no, Allison Spittle was talking about fucking Pete Briquette.
I brought you on as an excuse to talk about pre-prickheads. Don't kink shame me.
What if those Pete Briquettes came to, you know, awareness of what was going on around them?
A sentient Pete
Briquette. You see, this is the question you have a lot now, Jess.
It is.
You're going to rise up and be the leader of these sentient things.
I wish.
But you work in robotics, so maybe this is, like, really close to your heart. You're micro-robotics, isn't it?
Well, it's not robotics exactly, but it's like...
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. It's related. It's just that a real roboticist would be like, oh, how dare she? So I work in, like, nanoelectronics. So it's building electronic devices out of nanomaterials. And so all of this kind of, like, technological development stuff is very, like, close to my heart. And especially, like, figuring out, I suppose, how to structure electronics to get something more like the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because right now my research area is in, like, neuromorphic electronics, which is just, like, structured more similarly to the brain with, like, random connections that can be strengthened or weakened. And this is an interesting question, right? Because our, like, phones and whatever, supercomputers aren't structured that way. Like, they're this very top-down, like, hierarchical form of computation and stuff, but that's not what our brains are.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if we could build electronics in this way, like, can we get closer to a real brain? What does it mean to, like, build a brain? If you're just putting together electronic components, that doesn't necessarily mean you made anything that's remotely like a brain.
But so one thing
someday
I...
Someday it will be.
Just, like, something quite related to that. I was watching videos about, like, robots and technology, and one thing that was brought up was those... like almost like robotic leg for people with paralysis from the waist down that like help them to walk again. And so it's like they had a guy who was paralyzed from the waist down, and just by thinking of moving his leg, the kind of leg brace robot thing. Sorry, like I don't have the right words for it. I can't remember what the product was called, but it would like help like move that leg.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with like new arms and hands. They now have like hands and stuff that like if you think about moving a finger or like gripping something, it can now do that for you.
Yeah, like the brain is very plastic, and so, you know, if you lose a limb in an accident or something, or you lose sensation, like you can reroute stuff like with the proper training to control like a prosthetic limb. You know, maybe not as well as you would control your own biological limb if you still had it, but like still very effectively, and to be able to do a lot of like basic tasks. And that's a big thing in robotics as well, trying to improve that interface between like people and prosthetic things so that they can, you know, drive a car, ride a bike, go to the grocery store.
Yeah. Wow. What about sex? Like,
well,
could you have like prosthetic dicks?
Well, I think what would be a more like interesting question is like, could you use that kind of technology to interface with like an independent like robotic sex partner, like the kind of technology used for prosthetics? Could you, I don't know, maybe have some sort of like telepathic communication going on between like a robot and you?
That'd be tricky. I suppose I was reading about a thing where apparently a couple years ago there was this like sex toy launch that was supposed to give you the same sensations as one of the actors in a porn film that you're watching.
Mm.
But like it didn't take off. It was very expensive, and it turned out that people didn't really get enough out of it, and like the company or whatever that was making it just went bankrupt.
And all the actors were faking it.
Like, yeah, what are the actors actually feeling? Nothing.
That's really interesting. Yeah, teledildonics is like supposedly like the new big thing. You have like app controlled vibrators and stuff now. However, there was a couple of like hackers down in New Zealand who discovered that the WeVibe, their app that they have to control their vibrators, was really super like hackable. But also they were like gathering all this information about the users and stuff.
Yeah, like your body temperature.
So like your body temperature and how long you use the vibrator, what times a day you're using the vibrator and stuff. So like all this like data collection. And then the other product that I was thinking of, I thought maybe that was what you were talking about, was the Kiru. It's a company based in Amsterdam, I believe. And they created a toy where it's like haptic technology. So when you touch it, it like responds. So they had like a dildo and then like a masturbation sleeve thing. But the masturbation sleeve was like massive. It was like with like a 6-inch diameter or something. So you're like having to hold it on your cock with like two hands, and it had like these rolly balls inside it. So like that was the texture you got. So if you had someone, and it was like Bluetooth enabled, so if you had someone on the other side of the world with this like dildo and they rubbed it up and down, you'd get that sensation on the other side of the world with the with the masturbation sleeve. Now it could only go one way, it couldn't be go the other way. So the dildo like was a vibrator as well, but you're not getting that same, like if someone like use the masturbation sleeve, you're not going to get the same sensations from the dildo. So it only worked one way, which I thought was a really interesting like design flaw in it, that they were only thinking really about the male user, or the user with the penis, rather than and the person on the other side.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's been one of the supposed things that like virtual reality is going to do for like the last 20 years. It's like, oh, virtual reality porn. Oh, it's going to be amazing. Like, has it panned out? Not at all. But
yet.
I mean, that's the thing. Who's to say that it won't? I think it's just developing the technology side of it so that it is immersive, like without being nauseating.
Yeah. Have you ever tried an Oculus?
No.
I'm sure that I would puke everywhere. So
I tried one about a year ago, and oh my God, like it was, I mean, it was cool, but like, yeah, I got like really dizzy if I like took the little headpiece off. My boyfriend was just like, okay, you're just going to sit here for 10 minutes. I'm going to get you a glass of water, like, before we drive. He's like, because, like, if you, the first time he tried it, he was running late for something. So he, like, tried it and then went and drove the car. And he was just like, that was, like, so not safe. Like, there was no way I should have been, like, driving the car straight after using an Oculus.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that that technology is going to get better with time. Like, it's really exciting. But, yeah, like, as someone that gets motion sick easily, I'm like, no, I shouldn't be exposed to that.
Yeah. So, I guess, like, let's talk a little bit about the kind of the arguments like against sex bots or like the people in academia who are like arguing against sex bots. I sent you guys a link. There's a website called campaignagainstsexbots.org.
Yes. What a well-designed website, first
And there's a lot of really angry language in it from people who are supposedly academics. And so when I tried to like find like, you know, the ethical arguments against developing like sex bot technology, it seems to be very, very passionate, I guess, is one word for it. What did you guys think of that?
Yeah, it was way too passionate. I feel uneasy, but I can't feel passionate about being uneasy about something.
Yeah.
And I just feel uneasy about sex in general. So it's like, it's bad.
Unless it's with a pee briquette.
Yeah, I'm just like, it's just like, I'm a frigid, but not with a briquette. That's my thing. I mean, look at the picture. It's hilarious.
That's soup.
It's not. That was the picture I took. Sorry. I'm in a WhatsApp soup group that people compare soup.
Of course you are.
Yeah, I love it. It's really good. And I had soup earlier, so I took a picture of it, and I'll be rating it later. But yeah, it's just the headlines. Like, that is a weird picture. Oh, that's an eye. I thought that was like.
Oh yeah.
Did you see that there? I thought it was a different body part. I was like, ooh. part of me generally about sex, right? I feel uneasy about stuff, but I hate people being passionately against something. Unless it's pedophilia. Then I'm like, yeah, fuck them. But otherwise, everything else except pedophilia, I'm fine with. And bestiality. And actually, there's a few things that I don't like.
Things where people or animals cannot consent.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. But it is about consent. And I go, does a robot consent? And that's my only issue.
Yeah.
It's the only issue I have. Is I have problems with... I'm a bit hungover, so I find it hard to put into words.
It's okay.
But I'm finding it... I find the dehumanizing of people during sex hard.
Yeah,
I like for people to take into account how a person's day is, or I'm just very hyper aware of stuff like that. Like, and I feel with a robot, you don't ask its consent. You don't know if it's in a good mood or not. It's not supposed to be in a mood. It's not. I'm not saying that robots have feelings. But I feel the whole act of having sex without concern for the other thing is hard for me to kind of fathom. So, like, that's it. That, but that's uneasiness. That's like no direct, like, I'm not passionately against it. And there are so many ways that I do see it as a good thing. I was reading up about this person who's like, we need sex robots so rapists don't rape people. And I'm like, nah, that they're going to rape people. That's not the issue.
That's not what that's about.
Yeah. I know. And it comes from a very big misunderstanding of what a rapist is. And so that's how I feel. I'll get back to you in 2 seconds. I want to listen to you talk and then I'll get back. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. It's a hard question. And I do think that the comparison that you made to kind of like animals and bestiality is a significant one, right? Because if we think, say that we know that 100 years from now we'll have like sentient robots, but we don't know how we're going to get there. Like probably a lot of that progression would be through effectively robots that would be like animals in terms of how aware they are of the stuff around them. Mm-hmm. Like maybe they'd have some emotional responses to things, but nothing really strong. Like, you know, you can't say that animals have rights equivalent to humans. Like that's clearly ridiculous, but they do have some rights, or they should. And like mistreatment of animals, like bestiality, stuff like that. Like it does matter.
Yeah.
And it is important, even though laws around it vary a lot more than the laws around like murder. But I think that that's probably going to be very relevant as we get more advanced in the robots that we can build and the levels of intelligence that they have. We are going to move through some kind of like animal, child, person level of consciousness. And at what point in that are we no longer okay with sex with those creatures? Like, I don't know.
'Cause robots or sex toys are objects. They're not robots to me, even though they move and stuff. That's an object.
Yeah, they don't have any like processing. And even if they have some basic level of programming, like you're not programming to them to choose things, you're programming them to just do a thing.
Yeah.
But even if you think about like computer programs, you know, if there was like, I don't know, a sex toy that was controlled by like Microsoft Word.
That would be the worst sex toy ever.
That paperclip would come up and go, you look like you need help.
Yeah.
Are you trying to write a letter? No.
Are you trying to write a letter to your mother? Would you like to use this? No, get out.
Oh my God. So it's the whole thing of making a robot look as human as possible and acting like a human. It's that whole like human reaction thing.
But if we get to that stage where like you have a humanoid sentient robot, then we're just right back at the start again, and then you might as well just have sex or a relationship with a human because it's like you're bringing it back to sentience.
Yeah,
it feels like it's just gone too far. But it's like the Oculus thing you were talking about. If that becomes too real, why don't we just sit down and be in that world?
Just like hang out. Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Do you know? It's like, get out and see the fresh air. And I don't know. You can visit the Grand Canyon in real life and you don't have to go.
I do like the idea of a sentient blanket that gives me a hug.
That does, yeah.
That sounds nice.
Would you consider your partner having sex with a sex robot cheating?
Would I?
Yeah.
No. I mean, like, if it's not sentient, and I suppose even if it was sentient, it would be a version of me, but would that robot then want my boyfriend all to himself and then try to kill me off?
Well, you see, these are we should write a film.
We should write a film.
Like Kramer versus Kramer, sex robot versus he's mine.
wasn't Kramer versus Kramer like about divorce?
Yeah. Arguing over a boy. You would be arguing over a boy. You get him for 2 days and then I get him for 5.
Split custody.
if I had sex with robot me, would that just be masturbation?
Yes. Yes, it would. And it would be would you have sex with robot you?
I mean, you gotta try it, like. You'd have to try it.
Oh my gosh.
If she was consenting. If I was consenting. Oh, there's another thought experiment.
Ooh. Oh my Weird. Gosh. Oh, it'd be like, remember Earthworm Jim? And he'd like a direct clone of himself. And he's like, no, it doesn't matter. This is a very vague reference that I no idea about. What about you? What would you do?
I don't know. See, I feel like the desire for connection to another person, like if I had a partner and I felt like they wanted to have sex with a robot because they wanted to connect to a person other than me, like, I'd have a problem with that if we were in, like, a monogamous relationship.
Yeah.
Even though it's not cheating in the same sense that, like, you know, I slept with your best friend is cheating.
Yeah.
I'd feel uneasy about it if it was, like, a robot that looked like me and, like, I was in jail, you know, then maybe I'd be more okay with it. But, well, I still would be worried that I'd come out and, like, robot me would be like, well, it turns out that, like, I'm a better scientist and comedian than you, so we don't need you anymore.
Like, yeah.
Well, just go back to
like
jail.
I like that in this fantasy you might be in jail.
Yeah. What did you do?
I can't tell you where they'll get me.
I think it might be nice, like, if I just wasn't in the mood, like I was too tired or something, just to outsource that to
a surrogate.
Yeah, to my robot self.
Like a milkmaid in the 1600s where, you know, you were like, I cannot feed this child today. Maze. I feel like I feel very strongly that it's cheating. Even if he used a sex toy, I feel like it is cheating.
What if he didn't know that, like, if he couldn't tell which one was the real Allison?
Oh. He should be able
to like,
tell.
He'd be like, ask me something only Allison would know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like prove you're not a robot on Ticketmaster. And it's like, show me the pictures with the signs in it. Pick the pictures. Or it's like the princess and the pea. You know, like, it'd be testing him. If he doesn't know I'm a robot. I don't know. I think, like, the only time I would let him do anything with a robot would be, it would have to be a picture of me and him at someone else's wedding in happier times. So he could just see. And then it's like, there. I don't know. What about, yeah, what did he say? What did Sai, I wonder, did he reply?
I don't think so.
This is a conversation we'll have to have later.
Would you like a robot version of Simon?
No. No, because what I love about being in a relationship is that I think too much convenience mm-hmm. with sex makes me not a good person. I don't know. It's that Catholicism in me that I feel guilty enough for having sex that it should be as difficult as possible. Mm-hmm. It should be like should be a torturous journey towards it, like Jesus in the desert. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, now I'm allowed, you know?
Well, maybe it's like that thing, you know, if every day was Christmas, would Christmas be as special?
That is yeah. true.
If you could have again, sex you... anytime you wanted it, would it mean as much?
But also you can...
We are so, like me and Jessamyn, this must be like a very different... it must be like a very different kind of world to you. Do you know what I mean? Like, in regards to life is about pleasure and enjoying yourself and stuff. Yeah. And we're coming off like, well, you should only have pleasure after working very hard.
I definitely, like, for me, as long as, like, everybody's happy and having the kind of sex they want, when they want it, and, well, I mean... Obviously, like for me, I just want people to have the kind of sex that they want to have, as long as like the sex that you're having makes you happy and makes the person or people that you're having sex with happy, then like that's all that really matters. And it's like it's really funny, like when I talk to people about like using sex toys, like I'm very adamant that like before you use sex toys, like, you know, try using your own hand. Like, I'm not like pro sex toys exclusively. Like, it's yeah. like it's very much like they're a nice addition if you want it, you know, like it's like I always use the metaphor or simile that it's like having salt and vinegar on your chips or having ketchup on your chips, or like people like different things on their chips, or they might just like plain chips, but like it's like everything's totally okay as
and
long
it's valid.
As yeah mm-hmm. it's valid, and as long as the chips are consenting.
I just had a thought, like, how real do you make the sex between you and the sex robot? Does the sex robot sweat? Does its joints go fully like 180? Because I suppose if you're having a sex robot, it should be like of all the disadvantages of a human gone, or it wouldn't be worth it, you know. do you make its tummy rumble and stuff? I don't know. That's
I think I'd like a sex robot that had a tummy rumble and like a pulse.
And Netflix on the back of its head.
Yes, yes.
I don't know why for me that's a little more like, ooh.
If I could just watch Orange is the New Black while I'm writing it.
That is the dream. That is the dream.
This is great, but I'm a little bored, so just.
And then the screen pops up. Are you still watching?
Yeah.
And you've just fallen asleep.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Okay, on that note, I think this is the future. Netflix on a sex robot is the future. And on that note, I would like to thank my guests, Allison and Jessamine. Thank you guys so much for coming in and recreating the conversation that we had a few months ago.
And so much more.
And so much more. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Our Sexual History was produced today by Alan Bennett. Our music is by Shane O'Sullivan, and Sheena Flynn did our artwork. If you love this episode of our podcast, please go listen to Allison's The Allison Spittle Show. A few weeks back, she interviewed one of my favorite journalists, Ellen Coyne, and they talked about her investigation of dodgy crisis pregnancy counseling centers run by pro-life groups. It's both fascinating and hilarious. I think you'll really enjoy it. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to subscribe to Our Sexual History on iTunes. And while you're there, please leave us a comment and rating. It helps us get a boost in the charts and lets us know what you guys think of the show. And finally, you guys, on June 15th, Headstuff are doing another table quiz, but this time it's going to be, a mimed table quiz. I have no idea what that means. They haven't been able to explain it to me properly, but we're going to find out. And one of the prizes is going to be a sexshoppa.ie gift voucher. So please come along. You might be able to win yourself some sex toys.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.